Radio.
Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
I'm your number one fan. There is nothing to worry about. You're going to be just fine. I'll take good care of you. I'm your number one fan.
And that was the creepy echoing voice of Kathy Bates in 1990's Misery, a film that should capture the theme quite well today, Cinema of Winter. But first things first, welcome to Sun Cinema Podcast, weekly radio show that examines the highs and lows of the medium of film through the filtered lens of Washington, D.C.'s only privately owned art house cinema. I am your host, Jason Cauley, and I'm joined today by the co-host and proprietor of Sun Cinema, Dave Cabrera. Dave?
What's up?
There he is. Ryan Mitchell's away this week, so we're going to bag on him in his absence. But in his absence, we reached out to our favorite guest host and BFF of the Sun Cinema Podcast, the incomparable Jennifer Tisdale.
There it is. Thank you. My fan base grows. I would almost put Misery also into a Valentine's Day movie category. Oh, we'll talk about that later, but yeah. I would say, for me, that's how I usually express my love for men. Nice. In a very similar style.
By hobbling them.
Yeah.
Jen's a stand-up comedian, if you didn't catch that, and one of the brightest young things here in D.C. Jen, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, guys. Happy Valentine's Day Eve.
Happy Valentine's Day Eve. Yeah.
Gross. All about Valentine's Day Eve.
We're coming to you from the Full Service Radio Station inside the Glorious Line Hotel in the Adams Morgan neighborhood of our nation's capital. Dave, it's been a Black History Month. We're about halfway through at Sun Cinema.
It's got to be a better way of saying that.
It's been a Black History Month.
Well, it can always be debated whether or not it should exist, why it exists on the shortest month of the year.
And the coldest
month of the year. Yeah. So it's been a Black History Month at Sun Cinema.
Fair enough.
And how's it going so far?
It's going well.
Are you guys doing Blank Man?
We are not doing Blank Man, but that we should have.
Blank Man would have been nice.
Next year.
Right?
You can only show black films during Black History Month, so I guess it's
no, we gotta wait.
Next year.
Yeah.
Can't show that in March or April.
Sorry, those are the rules. We're just following them. We're just living in that world.
It's been going well. I think maybe the highlight of last week was we did a live Prince concert.
Oh, that's right.
We got a hologram.
Is that Baby Bri Bri?
Mm-hmm.
Love him.
And it was packed, and there was like 40 people waiting out front at 7 p.m.
Oh,
and there were all these like old heads.
Mind you, capacity's like 30.
Yeah. Right. Old heads like my age or like old heads?
Like old heads wearing their like Prince concert t-shirts.
From 82.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And like...
That is really cool.
And like talking to Brian, who put this event on, and like, oh, I've got a better bootleg of this, and like... Just like there's a apparently
you guys should have like a bootleg night every month where you get some bootleg of something similar to this or mm-hmm. just Prince every month.
So the idea is to do more Prince concerts actually.
I'm all for it.
But there was so it was from the Love Sexy 88 tour, and apparently there's a group in DC called Love Sexy 88 or something, and they have like over 800 members, and they reached out to him and were like, next time give us more of a heads up. And I was like, maybe don't, because
you'll have to like outsource this.
We're not doing this at the Lincoln Theater.
Yeah, we'll be doing that at the Line Hotel in the lobby.
Angelica people will let you borrow a theater and Sun Cinema Presents. I don't know if that's weird because it's a different theater, some larger space.
Ooh. Yeah,
or maybe here in the lobby of the Line Hotel.
Just put them in the radio station. I'm down.
Yeah, right here.
All right.
Oh, that would be tight, but fun.
Yeah, if you think the Sun Cinema was tight.
Yeah,
we can be the overflow room.
There you go.
Speaking of tight, Valentine's Day.
Right?
Tight.
So tight. So this week, should we jump into that?
Yeah, yeah. What do you got going this week?
So this week, tonight we are doing We are curating a night of interviews and documentaries and shorts about the Black Panthers. Also, there are 700 people interested in that event.
Oh my gosh.
On Facebook.
Man.
That's so great, though.
Yeah.
Is this in honor of Friday's film release?
We did kind of try to time that. Yeah.
That was a serious question. I know it sounded like I was being a jerk, honestly.
Oh, that's another thing that we could talk about. Has anyone got tickets yet?
For Friday?
No, not yet.
For Black Panther?
I was going to let that breathe. Not because I'm uncomfortable, because I just feel like that's, I can give that moment to people who have been looking forward to that movie, and maybe I'll do like Sunday.
Nice.
For Black Panther.
Yeah. So we'll be doing a preview of that movie tonight. Just kidding.
it's a documentary about the making of that film.
Right.
Beautiful.
We'll be just showing clips. So then...
You know who does have tickets is Ryan.
Ryan,
sure.
He's not here.
If it's a Marvel thing...
Ryan Hunter Mitchell?
Ryan Hunter Mitchell. Not many people... I mean, he's kind of said it a couple of times here on the station, but he absolutely is kind of a Marvel nut.
Oh, right? Yeah. I feel like he's seen
all of
them.
Kale has our Kale, the brightest young thing, another bright young thing who is not young also. he has already got his special little tickets. He goes to one of those movie theaters where you like get a like reserved seating, and he has one seat that he likes, and he only goes when that seat is open, and it sounds crazy to me. But apparently it works.
I want to know about this seat.
If you knew Kale at all, you'd know that makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does.
Is it because the air conditioning is
something about
hits him just right, but he like doesn't hear the noise.
They're
of the
two
air
together without anyone else around.
Right,
it's a bit
right.
Basically like being in your own home, but at a movie theater, and that's why you go to a movie theater, so you can feel at home.
Right, exactly. don't want to feel like you're sharing an experience.
Cuckoo
with
bananas. So sorry.
So that leads us into tomorrow night somehow. Moonlight on Valentine's Day,
which I think is an amazing call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very very smart call.
We were trying to figure out what to do. We were thinking about doing Love Witch again, which is that wouldn't have worked for
it
this
wouldn't
month.
Have worked for Black Panther. Yeah. No, Moonlight's beautiful.
Yeah. Anyways, then on Thursday night, Through a Lens Darkly is a documentary about Black representation through photography and sort of the tension between negative representation and sort of reclaiming historical Black photography. Then Friday, we're showing...
It's Devo.
Oh, that was great. Was that...
Well
was
played,
that
Jack. No, that was off the cuff. Jack's just crushing
us. Jack. In the clutch.
Friday, I get it.
Good.
Friday yeah. On Friday.
Are you guys and showing then, Friday?
Yeah, on Friday.
Oh.
Yeah,
I thought we were just saying, we're saying Friday too much. And I can't tell if it's the day or the movie.
Both.
It's both.
You know, off, before we started, Jason, you said that you had just watched Zack and Mary make a porno for the second time, and you fell in love with it a little bit more than the first time. And what I was going to say to you is Friday was weirdly a movie that the first time I saw it, I liked, but I didn't really love. And then I watched it again, and I was like, this movie is brilliant.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was about the second viewing of Friday that really got me.
It's funny. We didn't talk about this at all, but that is exactly kind of the idea. Like it hit you like second, maybe third viewing. Because it was one of those movies, at least when it came out for me, like it was playing at everybody's apartment when everybody just had apartments.
Yes. Like, I still have an apartment.
Well, so do I. But, you know, when everybody had that, it was just on as background almost, and you'd start catching it. And I remember seeing it like the second or third time thinking, oh yeah, this is very, very smart.
I don't know how I missed so much the first time. I was sober.
I didn't realize Ice Cube was a writer on that movie too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Are we there yet? Sorry.
Oh man.
Are we? When are you showing Are We There Yet? Any Madea movies this month?
There are none.
Honestly, those are not bad films. Listen,
yeah.
I'm here to defend Tyler Perry and all of his work.
All of his work?
Every single film.
I think we're just going to do a whole month.
Of Tyler Perry
of
movies?
Tyler Perry movies.
Oof. You should do that. Listen, you're not committed. Dave, if you're going to get it,
you can't throw that out there and back off immediately.
You got to commit to the bit.
I think we're about to do it. No.
Tyler Perry saves March.
Yes.
Okay.
Saturday is Crooklyn, Spike Lee joint.
Ooh. Spike Lee joint.
Should be a fun one. And
Crooklyn's kind of like
deep.
It's hard too. Like yeah.
You're not having any good times with Black History Month, are you?
Friday.
Okay, Friday's just Friday, man.
Friday, I think Friday's kind of the lineup, right? Friday fun nights.
Fridays are fun.
Okay.
Yeah. We did house party last Friday, which was great.
But you didn't do house party too, and everyone could have worn pajamas at the pajama jammy jam.
That's true.
House party too is pretty tight.
Hindsight.
Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got that. You're playing like Black Dynamite or something.
Black Dynamite following next Friday.
Yeah.
No, Killer of
Friday
Sheep
fun
is,
night.
Is a good Charles Burnett movie.
That's Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I told you, that's like a total blind spot for me too for some reason. Like, yeah. I've been familiar with this film for a long time and I just haven't seen it. And
I haven't seen it either, but it's been on the peripheral.
Yeah, I'm coming Sunday to check that out.
Yeah, and that's that.
Hey, do you guys know where you're going with March yet?
We do.
Ooh, can you tease
it? It's Women's History Month. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I ruin it for you?
No.
I'm a woman.
Right, yeah.
She's familiar with the history of women.
Yeah.
And their month.
Yeah.
So the month of March is going to be, everything is directed by females.
There's four movies, guys. Hope you like them.
League of Their Own is coming.
Woo! It's going to be Point Break. Only want to talk about Point Break. The whole rest of the podcast has been scrapped as Point Break.
Let's do it.
We've talked about this in the past about hurdles in getting rights for movies.
Oh, that one's
fine. So we had high hopes for showing Point Break on St. Patrick's Day to celebrate Patrick Swayze. We did Roadhouse last year.
Crazy for Swayze.
It was a lot of fun. But apparently it's out of distribution.
We're saying it here.
Yeah, okay.
Let's not discuss that.
Right.
Can you play the shitty remake?
No.
We could have, but then
so
the movie's so bad.
Yeah.
So awful.
So then I went down a rabbit hole of trying to find other like cool Patrick Swayze movies directed by women, and I don't think there are any. Then I moved on to Patrick Stewart.
A woman should have directed Ghost. That's funny. Patrick Stewart.
Then moved on to Patrick Dempsey and landed on, what was it? Loverboy.
I just felt like we were really pushing it at that point.
Can't Buy Me Love's better.
Is that the with pizza with anchovies?
Yes, exactly. Pizza with anchovies.
Yeah, but that's when
sex.
We objectify a man for the entire film.
That's true.
Better way to celebrate Women's History Month than to order a man?
That's, you know,
God, she makes a hard argument.
I should have consulted.
Sorry.
Do you got a sound for that, Jack?
I don't. It was just that. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just sorry.
So I mean, I could give you a brief rundown of some of the things.
Well, I don't know. We should probably. I didn't mean to hijack. I just got excited for women.
But, yeah, Point Break was unavailable.
Point Break was unavailable. We are doing, on that day, we're doing A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which has nothing to do with St. Patrick's Day.
Babadook was directed by a lady. It was in the list.
Didn't make the cut.
Pet Sematary directed by a lady, I'm seeing here.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Is that why it's spelled wrong? Women are so dumb. No wonder she wanted to bring her cat back.
Right.
Some crazy cat lady. Right. It was like, I can't live without my cat. I get it. Women.
Mm.
Well, we've got some Stephen King stuff on the list today to talk about.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some winter flicks, some of our favorites, and then talk a little bit later about some of the Valentine's Day stuff. Get in there. And Jen's got some alt takes on some of these when I saw her list come over.
Of course I do.
And I loved them. They were great. And we're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. We're going to take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to dive into winter.
This nice little cinematic song here is produced by Morris, friend of the station. It's called Breakfast at Richmond's. We'll be right back.
Thank you. Has it ever occurred to you that I have agreed to look after the Overlook Hotel until May the 1st? Does it matter to you at all that the owners have placed their complete confidence and trust in me, and that I have signed a letter of agreement, a contract, in which I have accepted that responsibility? You have the slightest idea what a moral and ethical principle is, do you? Has it ever occurred to you what would happen to my future if I were to fail to live up to my responsibilities? Has it ever occurred to you? Has it?
Stay away from me.
Why?
I just want to go back to my room.
Oh, and that was
so terrifying.
If you're not familiar, you should be just smacking yourself.
Wait a minute. His name is Jack. He's got all these hotel responsibilities.
Oh.
Whoa.
Boy. Yikes.
Hide the axe, you guys.
Hey.
That was 1980, The Shining by Mr. Stanley Kubrick.
The Shining.
I got an eye roll. Was that an eye roll?
No, I always roll my eyes because I know for a fact that Stephen King didn't like this interpretation of his novel.
I know, you're such a Stephen King.
I do. I'm a Stephen King apologist because he's really shits the bed on every ending of everything he's ever written.
Quite a lot.
But yeah, no, I like it. It's very scary, but there are just some aspects of the film that weren't that the book didn't.
Get your head out of the book. Your head out of the book.
Guys, sorry, I'm a real...
Just enjoy.
So cerebral with my vast knowledge of Stephen King. So try to keep up. If you come to my house, there's only 3 bookshelves worth of Anne Rice books. Gosh. Sorry.
Oh, you just got to move the cats out of the way to see them.
That's right. 3 of them have been brought back from the dead.
Brilliant.
So, winter movies. He likes setting things in winter, that Stevie King.
He does. I mean, we just played the Misery clip earlier. Mm-hmm. Now winter. This. I mean, to me, The Shining is the ultimate, shut in, holy crap.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't be more winter if it tried. You know, you're trapped in a single location. It's this amazing place that's also haunted and damned. It just doesn't get any better. I saw this. You guys used to play it, Dave, right? On New Year's Day.
We were going to do it again on New Year's Day, but it was a Monday. We decided to be
closed. The Shining?
Yeah.
Oh, but I do have a story about...
Oh, that's right. I was there.
You were there.
The year before.
So on New Year's of 2017... No.
2016.
Yes. No, 2017.
This year?
No, you're right. 2017.
It's 2018.
2016 into 2017.
What year is it?
I don't know.
But you're right. 2017.
Right. So on New Year's Day, we did a screening of The Shining. And during the Red Rum buildup, one of the most intense scenes, all of a sudden, a woman at the bar just passed out and took the entire bar with her. Everyone went flying.
Oh, my
God. Yeah. Yes.
That scene, yeah.
Can you imagine getting sidelined during
this scene?
Just...
And everybody, you can imagine. I mean, everybody is
It's a
completely focused in this tiny space.
So then we had to turn the lights on, and in the back, and then eventually we paused the movie. And I
eventually
remember,
you paused the movie.
Well, because people were still watching in the front.
Well, yeah, you don't want to disturb the film.
So then, right.
Wait for a natural break. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll
wait. We established she was breathing, so we let the movie go.
She was. But also very meta creepy for me was when I turned when we paused the movie, I saw that everyone in the front turned around at the same time.
I was one of them.
You were one of them.
Totally one of them.
And then she got up and she drank some water and then she left because I think she was embarrassed.
Was she drunk?
No, she wasn't drinking at all. I think she was just dehydrated and
from drinking the night
from
before.
From the night before. Yeah.
Did a locked knee standing kind of thing.
It might have been
so
that.
Creepy.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Jesus.
We heard it.
Yeah.
But I was sitting literally
in the
front front. Yeah, I was in the front. And it was an assumption that, it's just bar noise.
Sure.
Like something,
sure.
Oh, Dave, crazy Dave, he
crazy
knocked
Dave
over some
there.
Glasses.
Just...
You know, or whatever.
Wiling out.
during a movie.
When you turn the lights on and we all turned around and looked back, then you could actually see like, oh no, there was like a domino effect and this lady took like half the bar with her when she went down.
Can you imagine during that scene?
Yeah, that would have been terrifying.
Horrifying. I'd like the quickest tangent just because it sort of relates. I was watching The Wrestler with a girlfriend I was with at the time and a friend of ours, and during one of those really like graphic scenes with the barbed wire and stuff, my friend goes to the bathroom and faints. Big thud. We go in there and he's like lost a few teeth, full of blood in the mouth.
While
like Mickey Rourke's on the screen, also full
now
of blood.
Now he looks more like Mickey Rourke.
It was really fucked up, yeah.
I thought you were going to say someone like put you in a headlock or something during
that would have been passed out. The sleeper.
Yeah, they put me asleep.
Lost teeth.
That's a nightmare of mine. Like losing your teeth. Not like the like when people always have it. Like literally, if I lost a tooth, I would be devastated.
Yeah, it was traumatic.
I lost two teeth jumping out of a plane. Just as a side note.
Devastating. Wow. Yeah, that's horrifying to me.
It was pretty devastating because it's one of my great fears as well.
Yeah,
and I had to fall to the ground like managing a parachute. While blood is just like gushing out of my face.
Whoa.
And, yeah.
Let's do a whole podcast.
So you lost
that.
Your teeth before you hit the ground.
Oh, yeah. I lost it on the exit. Somebody let a, there's clips.
I wonder where they are now.
You're hooked into. And one of those clips was loose and flew back, caught the wind and flew back and hit me square in the face. Just split my face open, but I also lost two teeth.
No.
Like choking on teeth and blood falling to the ground. That's cinematic.
I was going to say, that should be
in a winter
Point
Break.
Yeah.
Ooh, Point Break.
I've been skydiving, Dave, have you?
I have not.
I did. It was
It was also in the winter, by the way, so it was freezing cold.
Perfect.
Theme.
And you've
Back
got like
to the theme.
Now like raw nerves and blood.
Oh. I'm
speaking of raw nerves and blood.
I was looking at the list that you made. Is there like, do you want to
Do you want to tackle these
great winter movies?
I just put some stuff out there.
Fargo's
almost like too easy, but really it is like those last scenes where she's driving and just the road.
Yeah.
It's just the complete whiteout. I mean, it opens on a whiteout and it closes on that whiteout, but or at least it starts the culmination of closing on that whiteout. The Thing.
God, yeah.
I mean, I know we're all just going to kind of say,
well, we were talking
say
about
titles and go, yeah.
We were talking about Patrick Swayze earlier and Kurt Russell's hair in that movie. There
Kurt
was like,
Russell's hair
was like
in
a hair
every
off
movie.
Well, Tango and Cash.
Tango and Cash, which I, again, just
and a lot
watched.
Of people were like, Big Trouble, and I'm like, no, Tango and Cash.
No. Tango and Cash, and literally, like, his hair is always prime time.
Fantastic.
Like he has the best male head of hair in Hollywood.
And then he also like the I think that's the only time he's had a beard. I'm trying to think of any other
Not
Kurt Russell
often.
Movie.
And he
where
can carry
a
beard so well.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
I mean he's just good with hair.
Woo. In a Valentine's
it's getting
Day.
Warm in here.
Woo.
So do Christmas movies I guess don't really count as winter
well,
movies.
Well, you
right?
can kind of check those boxes, I guess. I mean there are some great moments in Christmas movies. You almost have to give like a quick nod to a couple, I guess, but kind of the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and It's a Wonderful Life kind of stuff.
Did we already talk about Planes, Trains, and Automobiles on this show?
We probably have. Jack, very good.
Did we talk about it?
Because we showed it, I forgot that Dan Aykroyd was in blackface, and I also forgot that...
That's not Trading Places. Yeah. No, yes, it is. That's Trading Places. Is
and
it blackface?
And Al Franken is in that movie, and they're in the same scene.
In Trading Places?
And I was just like, talk about... Bad foresight.
Yeah, well, hey. Now we're talking about Trading Places now, right?
Right.
This is a good winter movie.
Great winter movie, yeah.
It's a great winter movie.
It was also a good Philadelphia movie, which is why it was brought up before.
Okay. It's also like that time when everyone was being really playfully racist in the 80s, and it's so bad.
And it just played.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Played without comment. Just, we're just going to be racist.
So I guess like... one of my favorite movies on your list is weirdly 30 Days of Night because I'm someone who has, as I've already clearly established, I have a lot of strong feelings about vampires and how they are portrayed in films and books and the way that they are handled. I don't like the vampires in 30 Days of Night. I don't like it when they're too animalistic because then I'm like, I would never fuck that vampire.
Right. I think that's part of it, right? There's always like an idealized sex appeal to a vampire,
and
right?
And they are just...
They're straight up animals.
...being too crass.
But I
with
will
their
say...
blood sucking. It's not sexy. It's It's purely to survive, and I don't appreciate that. Now, the other end of that spectrum is Anne Rice. They're too sensitive.
Too pretty.
So what I like to do is find that sweet spot, which is Gerard Butler in Dracula 2000.
Nice. Nice. So you literally just brought up 30 Days of Night to get to yourself.
Sure
to,
did. Gerard, if you're listening.
To Dracula 2000.
Butler, I didn't even know her. I almost had an opportunity to interview him once for BYT. And
oh,
I,
really?
And he's on my list of men I can have sex with if I'm in a relationship. And I remember telling my boyfriend at the time, I was like, well.
You got a cheat list?
You never think. Well, you know, everyone has that like famous person or several if you're me. But I remember being like, wow, you never think you're going to like have that opportunity to actually have sex with the guy. But it's on the list. These are the rules. But I don't remember. He was like in town for like. Something is falling. What was falling? Olympus?
Oh, London.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
London.
No,
is falling.
It was the other one, the first one.
Oh.
Was it London? Was the second one.
Okay.
He's fallen a lot of times, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
None of them have been on me.
So. Mm.
Hopefully we will fix that someday. Anyway.
Valentine's.
I will say 30 Days of Night, I absolutely like push on people because I do feel like it's underseen.
Yes.
I don't disagree with your kind of non-sexy vampire part. I got it. Danny Houston is not sexy.
No.
Especially in that.
No.
But I do feel like it's one of the great, like, absolute cold. How has this not been? I know it was a graphic novel before, but how was this not a book from like 1945
yeah.
or something? You know, like, how did nobody think? Oh, yeah.
And it's so obvious. They should be in
it's
Alaska.
So obvious.
What are they doing anywhere else?
Of course,
else?
They're in Alaska. You have 30 days of
yeah.
night
what?
Where they can just. Feast 24/7.
This is so dumb. Vampires are dumb.
And it's
vampires. If you're listening, go to Alaska.
Figure it out. But I have a horror movie club that just runs with a small group of people. But I just showed this like 2 months ago, and
they'd never seen 30 Days.
Nobody.
Except do we think that it's Josh Hartnett that like turned everybody off because Josh Hartnett was like still sort of like coming out of like terrible movies.
He was
like,
coming off 40, several bad movies.
40, whatever that movie was. Although The Faculty,
40 Days a Night,
is a great.
Faculty's great.
Movie yeah, Faculty
that
is
I
great.
Love. The best death scene ever with John Stewart being stabbed in the eye with a pen.
I feel like Josh Hartnett just needs to do everything Tommy Lee Jones would have done had he been of the same age, because I feel like they're very similar humans.
Yes, I see that.
He's very much like a young Tommy Lee Jones to me. Maybe not the great caliber of actor, but who knows? So that's my piece of advice to you, Josh Hartnett.
Josh, if you're listening. Yeah.
Think about it and think, would Tommy Lee Jones take this role if he were my age? And then take it.
Yeah, there
You'll
are.
You'll be fine.
I forgot about The Empire Strikes Back, too. God, that's a good one.
There's a lot of sequels, like Batman Returns, Die Hard 2.
The most punny movie ever.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess it's a good way to switch things up, right? It's like same movie, but it's winter now.
Yeah, and that's it. They're just bringing in elements of weather, right?
Die Hard 2 I almost put on there, but then it's a technically, does that also take place during Christmas again?
They all take place during Christmas. Even the last one where they're like, oh, I guess this is what they call an Indian summer. And it's like, no,
God.
it's like
it's Native
June,
American summer.
June in New York, guys.
But Die Hard 2 takes place here.
And yes.
It's like supposed to be like, is it a Dulles or Reagan
Dulles,
who even knows? That I know that like you're supposed to take these films with a grain of salt, but like if you're John McClane, are you really like, at some point was he like, this shit again? Really? Like, what are the odds? Yeah. I'm just trying to enjoy my Christmas.
I think
my
he
stupid
says
wife
those kinds of
won't
lines.
Get, she keeps getting in trouble. Perhaps the divorce was a good idea to begin with. If they had been divorced, this shit would have been happening.
Keeps going to wherever she is.
You hear me? If John McClane, if you're listening.
Wait, you know what's missing from this list? Edward Scissorhands.
Ooh.
Oh, Edward Scissorhands, so good.
Oh, God, that is so
pretty
good.
Wintry.
That was like, do you,
very, very
do you
good.
Remember that was the first time we had, saw a return of Anthony Michael Hall?
Yeah.
But nobody recognized him because he had beefed up.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometime between Johnny
the,
B. Good,
the
hit,
dork
a great
to
movie.
The,
yeah.
To the bully.
Really,
Johnny B. Good was like the like transitional period. You were
right.
Like, how is he playing a football? Okay, fine. And then suddenly, boom, leather jacket. And he's like the,
somebody's bench pressing.
He's the bully. Yeah. And I was just like, hey. I think I told the story already, like that one time I met him at that horror film convention because he was
what?
There for Dead Zone.
I don't know this.
There's a picture of him on my desk at work, and it's signed. And but we took a picture together separately, and he was like massaging my back the whole time.
Ooh, the dead zone.
And I said, "That's about what my back is called, the dead zone." He was he was massaging the dead zone that is my back. And I said, "Anthony, did you just put your hotel room number into my back there?" And he was like, "I could have." And I was like, "What? I didn't sleep with him, you guys. That's not how the story ends." But
damn,
Anthony Michael Hall, if you're listening, I'm already in a hotel.
I'm already here. No, the dead zone. I forgot to talk about Stephen King putting stuff in the winter.
What is his deal?
The dead zone is another one.
Is it because he's from New England? And he's like, we don't even have a summer. I don't know what his
problem. I think that's it. I think it's got to be
New
England.
Oh my God, I figured out what it is.
What?
He was a big cokehead. Snow. Cocaine. Cocaine. Snow. White powder.
That's the only way you can crank out 800-page novels.
That's true.
Week after week.
I think he was high when he wrote The Shining. I think he has, I've read in some interview that he had no recollection of really, really right. Imagine that, you guys.
Shut up.
You're not doing anything with your lives, by the way.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I don't need to feel worse about myself now to find out that Stephen King wrote The Shining.
Kind of happened to write it.
In a cocaine fog.
Yep. Jesus. Is there like a small winter snowy part in 1408 with like doesn't snow start falling in the room? You know this film that's
I know that
John
film.
Cusack.
Yeah, and Samuel
it's
Jackson,
another
right?
Stephen King. I believe at one point snow is falling in the room.
That would make perfect sense.
God, he's obsessed.
Let the right one in.
Let the right one in. That's one of my favorite
which
movies.
Which version?
Like, of all times.
The original.
Okay, good.
We were actually, Jason and I were talking about this earlier. Neither of us has seen the remake. I loved the first one so much that I sort of, by principle, did not see the new one. But I've heard that it's really good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah?
I can't remember. Are we going to kind of spoiler on this?
Yeah. I mean, come on. If you haven't seen these movies by now.
Because remember, she's a little boy, right? Isn't that at the end, you realize that the whole time she's actually also is a little boy. Unless that's only in the book and I just like...
She doesn't have a...
She's non-gendered. Okay, right. But non-gendered. I feel like she's somehow... Okay, so I feel like they didn't do that in the American version, which
that
is like a big reveal at the end.
Yeah, sounds like something.
Huge reveal at the end, you're just like, what?
Leave out.
I mean, these kids aren't going to bone, I guess is what you're supposed to think. Sorry, that's gross.
Beautiful movie, though.
way to bring it back around.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying
I do think that movie is like shot impeccably. It's just a... perfect example of like the still photography.
Speaking of vampires, again, we're obsessed today. Is this because it's Valentine's Day is tomorrow?
That sounds right.
They both start with a V.
It's all I need.
Yeah.
It's not a big jump.
A lot of cool cinematic choices, like this is a giveaway, but the one of my favorite scenes is the end where the bully is trying to drown him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And she comes along and like the whole thing is shot underwater. You don't see anything, but you hear all this commotion, and then all of a sudden you see like the bully's head just fall into
plunge.
The water.
Yeah.
So cool.
We should all have those powers.
Yeah. We should all have those moments.
If you haven't seen Thomas Alfredson's Let the Right One In from 2008, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Like, in the next couple of days, check
it
out.
So good.
I mean, truly.
You could read it too. It's at it's in my bookshelf in the vampire section, which is just one whole bookshelf.
Which is
you guys.
My entire collection.
So sorry.
Jennifer Tisdale will send you her copy.
That's right. It's just gently warm.
We got to take another break real quick. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some kind of wintry Valentine's Day-ish kind of movies. And Jen's got some interesting opinions on those that I really want to get into. So we'll see you in just a sec.
And this song is by Kiedo, K-I-E-D-O, on SoundCloud. We'll be back.
Spend as much time possible with Diane before she leaves.
Seriously, Lloyd.
I'm totally and completely serious.
No, really.
You mean like career? I don't know. I've thought about this quite a bit, sir, and I would have to say, considering what's waiting out there for me, I don't want to sell anything, buy anything, or process anything as a career. I don't want to sell anything bought or processed, or buy anything sold or processed, or process anything sold, bought, or processed, or repair anything sold, bought, or processed. You know, as a career, I don't want to do that. So my father's in the Army. He wants me to join, but I can't work for that corporation. So what I've been doing lately is kickboxing, which is a new sport, but I think it's got a good future. As far as career longevity, I don't really know, because you can't really tell.
Oh my God. This is one of my favorite Valentine's Day movies. Oh. I mean, if you're going to, like, it's just, to me, it hits all the right buttons. And RIP John Mahoney,
yep.
Just passed away last week. And
Marty Crane,
if you don't know him from anything else, but you should know him from this film. This amazing, this was a directorial debut of Cameron Crowe, mm-hmm. 1989, wrote and directed, probably like, launched a thousand.
I think he was like a child.
Yeah. And Cusack was definitely like a
child. They were all
Ione
Sky.
He's so baby-faced.
Pre-Beastie Boys, Ione Sky.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, truly just a great, great movie. And if you're dating someone special and they haven't seen this movie and you want to be somewhat
break
impressive.
Break up with them. Sorry.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be if you've seen it and they haven't. But for some reason, if one of the two of you hasn't seen it, check it out. Things will go well for you afterwards, I'm sure.
Whenever I have a date, which is hardly ever because it gives me so much anxiety to even think of such things, I always say, okay, it's a date. It's a scam. Whatever. And most of the time, they're exactly. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, where it's a scam. And I'm like, yeah, it's a date. It's a scam. It's whatever. Casual way of putting it. She's the best. I don't remember her name. The best friend of him in this film, and then she went and did the House on the Haunted Hill remake Catherine Zeta-Jones and Liam Neeson, and she's just been in so many. She was in she was in High Fidelity with him. She played the girlfriend that he settled on when they were both like single, and she's just an actress that I really like, and who's been in things, and I just never bothered to absorb her name, but she was forever the best friend is like her role.
Zooey Deschanel, right?
Yeah.
Old girl. No, you're not talking about Lily Taylor, are you?
Yes, I'm talking about Lily. That's her name.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, my God, Lily. She's in a great vampire movie by Abel Ferrara.
She's Have you seen this? Conjuring, called, but I haven't seen that.
Called The Addiction.
No.
Oh, my God. Run.
I feel embarrassed.
No. Nobody's seen this.
Somebody take my V card.
It's from late 90s, but oh my God, it's so good. You're gonna love it.
I will watch it. You guys didn't like that Virgin joke? Come on.
I did. I was just
I will watch it. The Addiction. I will remember this.
Yeah.
And she's in The Conjuring. She plays the mother in The Conjuring. She's great. She's just not a name I can't seem to remember.
And she had like that moment in the 90s where like independent kind of cinema loved
her.
Oh,
she was
in Dogfight.
I shot Andy Warhol. She played the person who shot Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
She did. Lily Taylor did it.
Yeah. She was in Dogfight with River Phoenix and like she had a moment in the mid 90s where she was huge and then just kind of, stayed in this character world ever since.
You should
do
like an episode of BFILF, Best Friends I'd Like to Fuck It. It's like the person in the film who's playing the forever best friend, and you're like, this one's actually better than the girl you're going
to. Which is
like,
almost
why
always
aren't you
the
with
case.
This yeah. one? So not like
always.
Some kind of wonderful, although that ended up, that would be a good Valentine's Day movie I would choose.
Yeah.
It's the John Hughes film that nobody really ever talks about that's not Curly Sue. that's not a Valentine's Day movie.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
I so love good. That movie. That's my favorite John Hughes movie.
Is it your favorite?
That know. Is my favorite is it, John Hughes
it's
movie.
It's definitely my top three.
The last scene when, like, you look good wearing my future.
Yeah, man.
And Eric Stoltz, Mr. Marty McFly,
that's
R.I.P.
probably why I don't love it, is because of Stoltz, if anything. Because
you're not a fan of the hip film Mask.
Yeah.
That's a good Valentine's Day movie.
No, God.
Why the long face?
Oh, chin.
Yeah.
What the long
but
things.
That'll segue into a wait, was Moonstruck on here?
No, but it should be.
Oh,
of course,
which is Moonlight. Damn it.
No, but Moonstruck is obviously like that's a gimme too.
I guess it depends on so like we maybe we should have thought about like the vibe. So like if it's like
are you watching things with your significant other or a potential significant other, or are you watching something to get you through? You know, because it's fucking Valentine's
Day.
Party of one.
All horror films.
Well, and that. Is that what goes for you? I mean, if you're...
I had this conversation with somebody recently. I watch horror movies because I love them, but I also watch them because, I'm sorry to use the word safe space, but it's like a safe space for a broken heart because most of the time you're not going to stumble upon a love story within a horror film.
Right,
most of the
right.
time, everybody's getting murdered, which is very satisfying.
Right.
So I think I watch horror movies when I don't want to like accidentally be like,
So what are some go-tos on that?
Well, for this, I chose some movies that were like very lady-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So you already said A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night is a good one. Carrie. That's good if you're feeling very revengey or just like you just want to watch a woman murder everybody.
Yeah.
And if you have an overbearing mother.
Yep. Species is a fun one because she's a bit of a succubus, but she's an alien. But
yeah.
And also Natasha, is it
Hendrickson?
She's just so beautiful.
She is insanely beautiful.
She's so beautiful. And if you're feeling like you'd rather just look at beautiful women who are murdering people, that's a good thing.
I do like a statuesque woman.
Yeah. Alien is pretty good. Got a strong female lead in Alien. Yeah. And it's a slight conversation about abortion.
Wicker Man.
What if you had gotten rid of that alien? Would this have happened? But you kept it. No.
Wicker Man, version or the original?
I like the Cage version because I just love Nicolas Cage so much. Everything he does.
Not to digress back, but I did want to ask you about The Frozen Ground. I've never seen this.
Another Cusack movie. I'm obsessed.
I've not seen that.
It's like a good winter movie,
it's
though,
really
right? It's like
good.
Set in Alaska. It's like based on true events or something.
Yeah, it's about a serial killer.
Okay.
So
I looked
right
it
away.
Up when I saw it on your list. I'm like, I haven't seen this.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I enjoyed it. So I cannot remember where I watched it. I'm sure it's available somewhere.
It's like 2013, that time
frame. Just one of those ones that just sort of came and went. And I think I just stumbled upon it because I have cable, because I'm 85 years old. So I can like be like, what's on Cinemax today?
You know what I think fits both categories as far as not winter, but like the Valentine's Day category of where you're with somebody or you're not is Shaun of the Dead.
That's what because it's like I think I put that on there because you're saving because it's really all about him saving,
right?
Going to get his lady love and they're like coming and then you have that sweet relationship with his parents.
Yeah, and even like just. Friends, you know, they're like the friends coming together.
And his stepdad, played by the ever fantastic Bill Nye, who is just
Bill
fucking
Nye, so good. So good.
And everything.
But yeah, Shaun of the Dead's definitely high on the list of things I would watch on Valentine's Day. You got the entire Evil Dead,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is if you have a significant other. Because Evil Dead to start out with, like, again, saving the girlfriend gets possessed.
Yeah.
And then there's like Bruce Campbell is walks that really great line between being a superhero and being like a sexy, like sexy man that I would have sex with.
You went a different direction.
What did you think I was
going? Oh, I was just like a stumbling superhero. Like,
yes.
He's not great at it. He's got the chin for it for days and he comes through in the clutch.
Yes.
But he stumbles his way through most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love it. Any other big selections, Dave, for Valentine's Day? If you got,
Dave, is yours going to be solo or with a pal?
Or working.
Convenient.
On Moonlight, though, you got Moonlight.
Moonlight, yeah.
God,
I actually haven't seen it, so
what?
I know.
Wow, you're going to cry.
You are going to cry.
You guys should have boxes of tissues.
In the back.
You should get some tissues and have them just scattered around.
Ooh, that's not a bad idea.
So for everyone, it's very emotional.
Get a couple boxes of tissues.
Just put tissues on every seat.
Oh boy, that's going to send a different message.
Oh, we're not that kind of cinema.
I'm so disgusting.
We are not that kind of cinema, Jen.
I'm so disgusting. I keep thinking I'm going to grow out of it, and I'm not.
No, that's okay.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Jeez.
No Von Trier movies on either of these lists.
No Haneke films either, unfortunately.
Gross.
Yeah.
So
Nymphomaniac? No.
Nymphomaniac 2.
Right.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. the super sequel. Yeah, no Haneke, no Lars von Trier, unfortunately.
I tried to find some like romantic, like, have you seen the Skeleton Key, that Kate Hudson movie that is
I'm familiar with that,
in New Orleans, the city I love, and that is actually a movie about those like two
the kids, right?
Possession. Well, it was like from like they just keep repossessing people with each new generation. This couple that they started out, they think they were like they were slaves in New Orleans, and then and then they just keep repossessing people so that they can stay together.
I remember
and
this
stay
movie.
In this plantation
this old house. Yeah, the
and
old
that's
plantation
beautiful.
House. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For
that's
sure.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah, no, that's a good one.
I can't imagine loving anyone that long through several generations.
Well, it helps when you're tied together.
I guess. You
know. Oh, what about Up? That's a that might work.
Ooh. Aww. Dave, sweet, that's right? So sweet.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Damn.
Wait, that was Jack.
No,
that was
Jack.
Oh.
I wasn't going to give
like,
it to
wait,
you.
Wait, why are you?
Because it came in through my right ear. And
I know. That's right.
Like,
yeah.
No, that was me. Sorry.
I mean, Up is great. It's a good movie.
Yeah.
And what else? I have Fright Night, which is a movie about
85, though,
the original,
right?
Of course, yes. With Chris Sarandon. Although his little cameo in the reboot really gave me joy. Mm. Did you see the reboot? I didn't hate
it. I didn't see the reboot.
Okay, there's just one scene where he plays this angry guy in a car and he gets killed by Colin Farrell, who's playing his role in the reboot. And I was like, it's Chris Sarandon. he did not have an apple, but that's okay. They did keep that nod in the reboot. But anyway, yeah, so that's a great.
There's something nice. I think there's something great about like horror movies on Valentine's Day with because if you're with someone too, especially it pulls in this cuddle factor.
Sure,
like all those things.
Usually
those
I'm cuddling the guy because they're like, "Boo," and I'm like, "Get over it, you fucking." I'm actually have a date tonight.
Oh, nice.
Which is weird because I just realized like when he spends the night, and he is. We'll wake up on Valentine's Day and I'll just be like, oh,
you gotta go.
Yeah, get out. But he was like, you don't like horror movies, do you? And I keep thinking about how I have 5 Freddy Krueger dolls in my apartment, and I'm like, no.
Was he saying that in hopes that you don't?
He's not a fan.
Well, this isn't going
to
work
out. That's okay. You know what I was thinking, though? Is like I keep wanting to meet people who are just like me, but that's like generally kind of not how it works, right? Maybe I should branch out. And this guy climbs rocks.
Well, that's cool.
And I said, hey, what if it was like called boulder dashing instead of rock climbing? And he didn't get it. And I was like, fuck.
Hmm.
Anyway, it's going to be great. I'm very excited.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Oh, yeah. So much love.
So much love. Well, that's it for us for the week. We've somehow managed to burn through about 45, 50 minutes here. And we've had a good run and had a good time. Thanks for doing this, Jen. Really appreciate
again,
you filling
Jen.
In.
Thanks, guys.
We really, really missed out on bashing on Ryan. We really should have taken it out on him.
What's he doing? He's in California. He sent me a bunch of photos of a dog that looks like my dog. So I was like, where are you?
It's
not
ridiculous.
Here. Speaking of people I'm spending Valentine's Day with, my dog.
Hmm. Always lovely. Well,
that's a good thing to end on.
Yeah. have a great week, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.